Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Day four in the NBA calendar, and we've got plenty more of the action to talk about in the fantasy basketball landscape. A couple of players putting their hands up, and potentially some buy low candidates also rearing the opportunity. Let's go!
Jordan open, Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today we are reviewing another big slate of NBA games, doing another recap show, another box score breakdown show. Now, don't get comfortable and used to these shows coming out every single day. I will not be able to do that throughout the entirety of the regular season. My girlfriend would probably crack the shits if I did. But the start of the season, there is lots of new games going on and lots of data that we need to crunch. So I'm putting in a little bit of extra work to go through a lot of the stuff early in the season to make sure that we know what we are doing and if we are, and make sure you guys are all across all of the data and things that are happening over in the NBA and for fantasy basketball. So another big episode. Let's get cracking into it straight away. We are starting with the, Detroit versus Charlotte. Detroit Pistons get the win, 111-99. It was a rough game for Cade Cunningham after his big game one performance. Got fouled out in 24 minutes. So fouls definitely limited him and reduced his playing time. He was not shooting as efficiently either as well. 4 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from threes, hit both his free throws. Only 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal for 12 points. So not exactly what you would want. Obviously, the foul trouble reduced his playing time altogether. So no need to panic, in my opinion, for Cade Cunningham. He will be fine. Let's check in on my guy, Jalen Duren. I think there was Adam King or someone did like that, a my guy segment. And to me, I had three my guys. It was Evan Mobley, well-publicized. Jordan Poole, I think, was also pretty well-publicized. But my third guy was Jalen Duren, who I was very big on. And all those back-end centers, those later centers, he was the one I was most excited about. And so far, I've loved what I've seen. 14 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists is a big thing. We've got to keep watching. He is a good passer for a big man. A steal, 2 blocks, 7 of 8 from the field. Amazing. Great, great fantasy line there. 35 minutes is also something that is really awesome to see. If you draft a Jalen Duren, you've got to be feeling pretty bloody good right now. And he has a chance to be one of the best rebounders in the NBA this season. He's a really good rebounder. Had 6 offensive rebounds today. He's just phenomenal getting on the offensive boards. Isaiah Stewart also had another good game. Backed up his first game with 15 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, and a block. Hit 2 threes, 60% from the field. And I think you could go ahead and add Isaiah Stewart if you're looking for those rebounds with the potential to get maybe a block and a 3 per game as well. I don't necessarily think he's a must grab. He's not for everyone, but he is someone that is, you could do worse than having him on a 12-team roster, I think. Playing 36 minutes as the starting power forward on this team, at the moment, it looks like he has some value. So, it doesn't have to be your team, but I think he is someone that we can consider picking up. Asar Thompson, still brutal from the field, but hit both his free throws for 6 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block. He's going to continue to do that all season long with those rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. But again, always going to be rough from the field and usually from the free throw line as well. Killian Hayes came back to earth a little bit, 29 minutes compared to Jaden Ivey's 23. It's better than 17. It's still only 23. Ivey's obviously someone we don't need to have in 12-team leagues, but it's a better performance in today's game. 18 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, shot more efficiently, hit a couple of threes, but still too low in the minutes department to worry about him in standard leagues. In my opinion, if he was dropped, I'd just be monitoring him in 14-16-team leagues. Maybe you want to keep a hold of him and just see how things shape out over these next few games moving forward. So I think that he is someone, again, don't need to worry too much about. And same with Killian Hayes, 20% from the field, hit a three, got 2 steals and 3 assists, which is kind of what you have him for. But again, it's not really someone we need to be super excited about. So moving on to the Charlotte Hornets, Mark Williams came back to earth. 5 fouls for him as well, so decent amount of foul trouble as well. 21 minutes, so limited, more in the minutes department. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. Don't panic. He just put up an amazing game the last game, and you can clearly see that the foul trouble was an issue for him here. So don't stress too much about Mark Williams. But Gordon Hayward, old Gordo, I think he's a must-add player at the moment. I know it's someone that we can't rely on for the rest of the season, but right now, playing 34 minutes, 19-9, 4 assists, 3 steals, hit 2 threes, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He is someone that provides good value. You grab him, you use him. When he gets injured, you drop him. I think that's all well and good. He's not going to be maybe this good every night, but he is someone that is playing a lot of minutes. He can do things in a lot of different categories. I think he's someone that should be considered a must-add player for a lot of leagues out there. So again, he was not drafted in a lot of spots. I think you could do worse than grabbing Gordon Hayward. PJ Washington came back to earth a little bit, but still okay. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Hit a 3. That's solid. Nothing really else to talk about. Terry Rozier kind of did his things. Brandon Miller played 33 minutes, which was, you know, good for him. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block, and 2 threes. That's a fine game, and you could definitely be holding him. I have my skepticism about how well he can maintain that, but at the moment, he is providing back-end 12-team value. So he is fine to have on rosters without the ability to really blow up, in my opinion. But that is, for sure, a decent line, in my opinion. So Brandon Miller, then the rest of the roster we don't have to worry about. JT Thor playing 25 minutes is interesting. Dynasty managers, maybe keep an eye on that. I don't mind him as a young potential player. Let's go to Denver versus Memphis next. Nikola Jokic, another great game, but did give the 9 turnovers in this game. So if you are worried about that, that does hurt. That is a lot of turnovers. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, efficient as always. A steal and a block, great, great, great. Aaron Gordon came back to earth a little bit as well, but still solid. 10 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, couple of rebounds and a block. Again, underrated player for especially punt free throw teams as well. Caldwell Pope, he still did well in the steals department, 5 steals, but again, the 20-point game that he put up in his first game was never really something that we were going to rely on. 8 points on 30% from the field here. Hit 2 threes, got his 5 steals. So that's what he's on your roster for. He's kind of like a Gary Trent-ish type player, which can have value on some teams. On other teams, not so much value. So again, that's kind of my view on him. He is fine to have, but isn't suitable for every team out there. I don't think we have to worry about Christian Brown really in standard and probably not even in 14-team leagues either. 19 minutes, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. It's just not enough. And Reggie Jackson is doing enough for deep leagues. 16 points, 6 assists. He seems to be the primary guy to handle the ball on the bench for the Nuggets because they don't really have any other playmakers off the bench besides him. So he, I think, will continue to see minutes in the low 20s. So for deeper leagues, that is definitely someone worth monitoring moving forward. For the Memphis Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. had a better offensive game with 21 points, 9 of 13 from the field. So much more efficient, more attempts as well. Hit 2 threes, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks. So still getting his blocks, averaging 4 per game in his first 2. So, yep, off to a good start for the second year, maybe challenging for that leading block per game player again. Xavier Tillman did his thing again. 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. A great, great line. I still have a little bit of skepticism that he is going to be able to maintain this when someone like a Santi Aldama comes back and do the Grizzlies for the entire season. Continue rolling him out there as their starting center. I have my doubts, but for right now, he's obviously putting up amazing numbers. But there may come a point where he becomes a little bit of a sell high. But right now, obviously, he's killing it. So obviously, no complaints there. Marcus Smart had a great game. 20 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals, hitting 3 threes efficient as well, which you can't always say about Marcus Smart. But that was a really good night. And he probably outshone Desmond Bane as the guard in Memphis this game, with Bane only going for 15 points on 4 of 17 shooting. Very brutal from the field. 1 of 10 from 3. Hit all his free throws, which is nice, and 2 steals, which is nice. But again, he was not someone that I considered a second-round player. You want him to be putting up at least second-round numbers whilst Ja is out. First game, he did. Second game, you'd call that a bit of a dud or a disappointment. Like, he'll be better than this, and I think he's still going to be a good player. But yes, that was disappointing to see there, and not really much else. 30 minutes for Jody Concha is one thing to maybe take a note if you're in a bit of a punt points kind of a team. He can give you interesting stats. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. If he continues to get 30 minutes moving forward, that is something to note, especially, like I said, if you are punting points, he can be someone that maybe provides a little bit of value to you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's go on to the next game, New York versus Atlanta. And let's check out everyone's favorite waiver wire claim. We'll skip ahead to the Atlanta Hawks and Jalen Johnson. Another game, 30 minutes. That is the big thing we're looking at. The stats are maybe not as impressive, with 11 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal in the box. Still bloody good. And did it on 5 of 8 shooting. So that's, again, really incredible. The 30 minutes is the biggest thing there. So they are finding him minutes. He played more minutes than Sadiq Bey. And yes, still by absolute no, you know, questions asked, a must roster player. Let's look at Onyeka Okongwu, the other bench player for the Hawks that we're interested in. 20 minutes. He had the 4 fouls. Again, I didn't watch this game, so someone in the comments let me know if he had them early and if that limited his playing time. Only 2 shot attempts, 6 points, 2 rebounds and assists, 2 steals and a block. You like the 2 steals and a block. He is someone that I still strongly believe is a hold in category leagues. In a points league, it is much less. In fact, you can go ahead and drop him in a points league because the payoff is not going to be high enough. But in a category league, I hope that when you were drafting him, you didn't expect him to be coming out and scoring 20 points. But he is going to be good at some point this season. Have patience is my thing. And if someone drops him in a category league, I will be scooping him up and I'll pick him up if someone was to drop him in my league. I think he still has a lot of potential. And again, we are so, so short into the NBA season. It is extremely important to remember this is a marathon, not a sprint. The player who started ahead of him, Clint Capella, 13 points, 13 rebounds, a block. He did it on 50% shooting. He's solid, man. And I never had any thoughts that they were going to start Okongwu over Capella. My thoughts are that it's going to be closer to a minute split, which it hasn't happened so far. Again, I would love to go back and see if that foul trouble did limit his move, playing time there for Onyeka Okongwu. And again, I still think there is a chance that he is traded at some point this season. DeJounte Murray bounced back a little bit better. 18 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Shot a bit better from the field. No threes, which is a little disappointing, but that's still okay. Another big Trey game with 12 assists, 3 steals, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. So that is nice. And DeAndre Hunter bounced back nicely with 27 points. Doesn't need to be someone we add in 12-team leagues. In a 14-team league, I think he's fine if you need the points, which again, a lot of teams can. 32 minutes is encouraging. He shot efficiently. That is somewhat replicatable for DeAndre Hunter. Remember, he's not going to give you one assist, no steals. That's him. That's what he does. He scores and doesn't do a whole lot else. And speaking of not doing a whole lot else, Sadiq Bey came right back to earth with 5 points. The interesting thing here is he only had 4 shot attempts. So it wasn't like he shot really poorly that game. They just didn't use him as much. His minutes were down a little bit. Don't think I'd be dropping just yet, but he is someone to watch and might find himself on the fringes of 12-team leagues if that usage stays as low as that, because he is not a defensive stats guy. He needs those shots. He needs the threes to get his value up. And if they're not coming, then yes, he could be someone that we drop. I think I'd give it more time, unless there's someone really hot out there and he's your worst player. I think that he's someone that we can maybe hold on a little bit longer. Let's go back up to the Knicks here. New York, great game from Mitchie Robinson. 7 points, 13 rebounds, an assist, and 4 steals and 4 blocks. Amazing defensive stats. He, you know, 2 of 6 from the field is not great, but those 4 steals and 4 blocks, that is really, really valuable in category leagues, especially. RJ Barrett continues to score. Couple of decent games so far for RJ. I mean, his scoring has been more efficient. The free throws have been a little bit better for him as well. So that's encouraging to see. I still want to see more of it for a longer period of time before I'm ready to believe it. But so far, so goodish for RJ. Emmanuel quickly played the 24 minutes off the bench, a little bit less than before, but I still maintain that of all the sort of wing players that we have question marks over between him, Grime, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, he is the one that you want to have. And speaking of those guys, I think Josh Hart is a player that you can afford to drop. I think he is not going to be someone that is going to make you regret it too much. I mean, look, he could have some decent value at some point, especially if there are injuries or things like that. So he's not a drop for trash. But I think if you want to add someone else, I think it is okay to move on from Josh Hart now after 2 games. The minutes are just not there. And I do think that the other guys around here are going to make it hard for them to be there at any point this season. So, tough game for Isaiah Hartenstein. Limited minutes, I'm assuming. Again, that's foul trouble, 4 personal fouls. Only 10 minutes, while Mitchie Robinson played 38 minutes. Don't think that's going to be the regular split moving forward. Better game for Brunson with 31 points, over 50% shooting. 8 threes. Damn, that's a lot of threes. Feeling better about his start to the season now after that second game for Brunson. Let's go over to my boys, Boston Celtics, and we undefeated. We got over Callum's Heat. Suck at Callum, but yes, let's talk about the Heat first. Kyle Lowry had a better performance. 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block. Hit 3 threes. That's useful if he's able to do that. Keep in mind, though, he shot once last game for 2 points. So I think he's more of a 14-team league guy than a 12-team league guy. But if this is more of what we're going to expect from him, he can definitely be added in 12s to be something to wait and see on. By no means is he a must-add player, but that kind of a line, if that's what we're going to see more of in 32 minutes, which, again, 5 of 7 from the field, if that's 3 of 7, maybe it's 1 of 3 or 2 of... Sorry, 1 of 4. It looks a lot worse. So, I think he's definitely more of a 14 or 16-team league guy than a 12-team league guy, but again, maybe just one to have on your watch list if you need those assists and threes and you're desperate. So... that is fine there. Everything else in this game, let's talk about Kevin Love. 21 minutes, that's fewer than he played in his first game. He still got his 9 rebounds, hit 2 threes, had 2 assists and a steal, which is useful. Again, probably more of a 14 or 16 team league player if he's going to continue to play that kind of playing time than a 12. But it is... Yeah, I mean, it's still decent enough minutes for Kevin Love, who can give you those threes and rebounds, which is a unique combination. But outside of that, really not too much else to talk about. Jimmy had a disappointing game, 3 of 11 from the field, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. And Bam had a good game. Poor from the field, you'd hope he shot more efficiently, but 23 field goal attempts is super encouraging for him. So obviously, A little bit of concern with the usage dropping down at points last season, the assists dropping down since Kyle Lowry's been there. He didn't get the assists today, but he at least had the usage with the 23 shot attempts, 9 attempts at the free throw line. So he has a chance to be sort of that top 30, top 25 player, I think, at this season, because they didn't get Damian Lillard. Let's talk about my boys, the Celtics, and a big, big bounce back game for Jaylen Brown. 27 points on 50% shooting, hit 3 threes, had 6 rebounds and assists and 2 steals, so definitely much better. But again, if you're going to get that type of a game every couple of games, and you're going to have what we had last game every other couple of games, then it will not be exactly what you drafted him for, but obviously that's encouraging. We'll see if he can keep doing more of this, less of the first game. Derek White had a huge game as well. 28 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. He had 5 threes, was 5 of 7, and 9 of 15 from the field. The 15 attempts is the most encouraging thing here. I don't think we see that super often, but it is encouraging to see that he at least is capable of this. All of the big five, the starters for the Celtics, played pretty good. Drew also bounced back a little bit with 7 assists, 10 rebounds, 17 points. Still no steals for Drew. Hopefully they're coming. That was something that I thought he could bounce back in with less offensive responsibilities on this team, but we haven't seen it yet. So hopefully that does start to come soon. Kristaps Porzingis still played well. Had fewer attempts, only the 12 attempts compared to his last game, but you can't complain with 17, 9, an assist, 3 steals, a block, 2 threes. That's still really solid. And Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum, and he did really good. Nothing on the bench here. Al Horford, again, 10 rebounds, whatever, but yeah, you just 0 of 6 from the field. You don't need to have Al Horford in your fantasy teams. Let's keep it rolling here, guys. Oh, this is an interesting game here. I had someone, I will talk about it in a second, when we get to the Cavs. Eager to talk about my boy Mobley. But Chet Holmgren, 7 blocks, my man. That is what we wanted to see if you drafted him. 16 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 7 blocks, 5 of 9 from the field, hit 3 threes. A bloody awesome game from him in 31 minutes in his second NBA game. Talking about some of these other rookies taking a little while to warm up. Well, in your second game, that is a really, really awesome effort. And he is really, really good. I'm a big fan of Chet Holmgren. Josh Giddey had a rough game today. 2 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, no defensive stats, 1 of 8 from the field. He will be better. To me, the lack of free throw attempts, the low usage, 1 of 8, the fact that he only shot 8 times, and the no defensive stats is more discouraging to me than the fact that he went 1 for 8. So to me, I think there is that concern that a Chet Holmgren or the stepping forward of Jalen Williams just affects him a little bit this season more than maybe we were considering when drafting him. But again, it's early days. The discouraging thing to me is the 8 field goal attempts, the no defensive stats, and the no free throws. So low usage for Josh. But hopefully that bounces back. Jaylen Williams did his thing. 1 steal, 14 points. Didn't do it efficiently like we saw him do it down the stretch of last season, but that's fine. And Shea continues to be outrageously good. 5 steals, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, 34 points, and still shooting over 50% from the field. He's just so freaking good. And Lu Dort, 25 points. You'd take that if you're a Lu Dort owner, which I hope not many of you are. Don't expect that every night. Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and my guy, Evan Mobley. I had someone say that they are regretting the fact they fell for the Evan Mobley hype, and my response to that is why. 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks is good. Now, the rest of it is not like he didn't have a steal. We're not expecting him to shoot threes. We're not expecting him to be great from the free throw line. What we would normally expect for him is to shoot more efficiently than 5 of 12 from the field. So again, if that's 7 of 12, then you're looking at someone who's putting up 18, 15, and 2 blocks with 3 assists, and that's friggin' good. So to me, that is fine. I think I still am exactly where I was at the start of the season for Evan Mobley. And he's gonna get going. It did help that we had no Darius Garland in this game, so maybe I would have hoped to see some more assists from him in that kind of a situation. But the shot attempts did start to go up. Max Strus If we check in with him, the shot attempts went down and he fell down after his huge game one, which we kind of all expected, or I hope you did expect. 8 points, 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. There's still some decent numbers in there. The defensive stats are a nice surprise. 4 assists is a nice surprise for him. The field goal percentage was bad. Somewhere in the middle between last game and this game. I'd say this game is probably more what we would expect from a Max Strus than the first game, but it will be better than this from the shooting point of view. It will never be as good as that first game, or maybe once every month it'll be as good as that. So I hope if you did, Adam, you held your expectations in check. Donovan Mitchell had a monster scoring game with 43 points. Did it efficiently as well, hit 4 threes, 9 of 11 from the line, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Really, really big game from Donovan Mitchell. Isaac Okoro, interesting to see him filling out a few other stats. So he's never going to be someone that scores a lot, but I'm keeping an eye on him with the 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He's always been a decent defender, but never really gotten defensive stats. But so far in the first 2 games, they have been there. I'm still skeptical whether it comes and whether it's a thing that actually we need to pay attention to, but is worth pointing out. Caris LeVert put in 17 points, but didn't really do a whole else. A steal and a block is okay. Didn't murder your field goal percentage, but it wasn't good either. It's more of a 14-team league guy, in my opinion. Maybe stream him in on nights where Garland or Mitchell are out. But to me, because of his negatives in category leagues, most often, I think he's more of a 14-team league guy than a 12. Unless he fits exactly what you want, which is scoring most of the time inefficiently. Let's go to the next game here, Chicago and Toronto. And we'll start with the Toronto Raptors. And another one of, I'm claiming a lot of my guys at this point, but Scotty Barnes, I've got him in a couple leagues actually. For as much as I, you know, said he was a bust because of his ranking, where he was ranked at 44 on Yahoo, which, by the way, I've always maintained that I said he could get there. My point was if you drafted him there, you've taken away a lot of the upside. But so far, he's looked great. 22 points, triple-double, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 blocks, shot way more efficiently in today's game, 9 of 14 from the field. No steals, but he had a bunch of steals last game, and the blocks have been there. 39 minutes is also extremely encouraging, and I think he can have, and I've said, I've put him on my breakout list, he can definitely have a breakout season this year. So the 10 assists is very encouraging, the 39 minutes is very encouraging as well, so big start for Scotty Barnes so far this season, and I hope he can continue it because he's on a few of my fantasy teams. Jakob Poeltl is someone that people are panicking on. So he's going to be the first player that we're going to discuss about today who I think you should, if you are a Jakob Poeltl owner, don't panic, hold, stay strong, stay patient. If you are not a Jakob Poeltl owner and you can use what he brings, buy low. Send out a trade. 19 minutes today, he fouled out with 6 fouls. He was a plus 20 in this game, in a game that they lost. So he was really good when he was out there. When he went to the bench, when he fouled out, the team got smashed. Precious Achiuwa, who they ran at center, Chris Boucher, actually was decent, but those guys, Precious Achiuwa especially, was, you know, they let them down. So Jakob Poeltl to me is still someone that is extremely important to this team. The 19 minutes is not reflective of what I think we can expect from him moving forward. So I think he is a massive buy low candidate. And because he hasn't given us much in the first 2 games, I've had people ask whether or not he should be dropped. And in a 12-team league, he is someone that absolutely still needs to be on a roster. If you see him dropped, swoop at him straight away, but send your sort of like third worst player to see if you can get a Jakob Poeltl from someone if he fits what you need, which is, you know, the rebounds, the blocks, the field goal percentage, the decent assists and steals from a big as well. Beware of the free throw percentage. That is obviously still a massive weakness for his game, but I still think he is someone that needs to be rostered. So he is the first, I think, buy low for this season. OG had a worse game than last time. 11 points, 3 rebounds, no assists, 2 steals. Was efficient, but just didn't get much in the way of a usage. So we'll see how that moves out. And 10 assists from Schroeder. 10 points, not much else, but he remains someone that needs to be on fantasy rosters for those assists alone. There are a lot of other negatives in his game, but the assists are very hard to find on waivers, so I think he is worth having. Gary Trent from the bench, 16 points, hit 3 threes, had 2 steals. That's okay. That's decent. Again, if you need the steals and the threes, he's fine. I don't think he's a must roster player, but serves certain needs and will be up and down for a lot of the season. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. Now, Patrick Williams, man. 13 minutes is the big red flag here. Alex Caruso played 32 and was definitely the guy that they went to as sort of their fifth starter. And I think you don't absolutely have to hold Patrick Williams. I actually picked him up in the industry pickup league after someone dropped him after the first game, just to have a look at it. I knew he had a back-to-back. He plays today and they play again tomorrow. So I'm going to hold him again for tomorrow and just, again, stop and wait and see. But he is someone that if it doesn't go well, I'm happy to drop him and stream his position or grab someone else, have a crack at another upside player, because again, he's a young player, he's a starting power forward, but this is not encouraging. So if you want to drop him, grab someone off the waiver wire that you think is better, then absolutely feel free to go ahead. For me and my team, just so I'm transparent in what I'm doing, I'm holding him again for tomorrow. Have a look at that, another data point. He did have 3 personal fouls, and obviously it wasn't really going his way. Caruso was incredible in this game, was a plus 29, and was obviously the leader in plus minus in this entire team by a long, long way. But Caruso can do that from time to time. So it is obviously not been an encouraging start to Patrick Williams' season so far. Vucevic, well, what do you know? 4 of 15 from the field. Okay, first of all, encouraging that he had 15 shot attempts. I'll give him props there. So the 15 shot attempts was much better than his 8 last game. But again, not as efficient. So he played 40 minutes, so big minutes, 11 points, 12 rebounds and assist. The defensive stats have gone. They were big last game. He had 1 block, but the steals weren't there. The field goal percentage, which is probably the only thing that I said was going to fall back to earth, did in this game. Let's keep monitoring. Again, one game, but so far in both games, either the field goals were low or the field goal percentage was poor. The defensive stats from last game were never going to keep up. We knew he was a great rebound. I never doubted that. So he did well there. But again, just something to monitor for Vucevic. Kobe White, big game here. 8 assists, 6 rebounds, a steal, 17 points, 2 threes. He murdered your field goal percentage, but he is definitely someone that fits that punt field goal percentage build and will give you those points, threes, and some assists. The 8 assists here are the most encouraging thing to me. The fact that he's getting some playmaking responsibility is really good. And Zach LaVine, he played 38 minutes, but 14 shot attempts, missed all of 6 of his 3s, 8 points, 5 rebounds, assists, and a steal, and no steals and 1 block. I don't know if something's up with Zach, whether he was dealing with like an illness or a little niggling injury or something like that, but this was a very, very poor game from him and quite passive compared to a lot of the other guys. Like when you're taking fewer shot attempts than Kobe White, Vucevic, and DeRozan's nearly doubling you in field goal attempts, you had to get into the line twice. That's a little bit not like Zach. So I wonder if there is something. I haven't smashed the news. So if you do hear something, drop it in the comment section below on YouTube or tweet at me and let me know if you have some more information about Zach LaVine. But yeah, interesting. Poor game. Maybe it opens up a bit of a buy low opportunity for other managers who might be impatient and worried. Let's talk about Caruso, 13 points and 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. He was awesome. 5 of 9 from the field, 32 minutes. The question with Caruso is whether or not he can handle that many minutes on a regular basis. I mean, they won this game by 1 point, so they definitely were, trying to push him out there to get the W today. This is easily a 12-team standard league guy. You can definitely add him, and he fits certain teams a lot better. So he's probably more of that like punt points, punt threes-ish kind of a build guy who's going to give you some assists and steals and some off out of position rebounds and blocks. He's not going to score very often. He's not going to get you a lot of threes or be. I wouldn't expect 13 rebounds from him on a regular basis. So again, be conscious of what Caruso is or who he is, but he is useful in certain builds. And if he can maintain minutes in the high 20s, that is a very useful player for fantasy leagues. I just have my doubts whether or not that this is a realistic minutes load to expect from a Caruso moving forward. But if you want to take a flyer on him and have a crack, then there are worse things that I think you could be doing. Let's go to the San Antonio and Houston Rockets overtime game, as was that last game I should have mentioned. So the minutes, again, might have been a bit higher because of that. But another overtime game for the Houston Rockets. Freddie VanVleet put back up another great performance. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, hit 2 threes. 50% from the field, which is a good thing from Fred. And let's talk about Alperen Şengün, number 3 most interesting player this season to me in the preseason. That's a big game. 41 minutes, super encouraging. 18 field goal attempts, very encouraging. 7 assists, awesome. I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see the breakout season for Alperen Şengün this season, and I am excited. I think if you were able to get him in the 50s or 60s this year, it's early, but I think it could be a really big win this year. 25, 14, 7, 2 steals, a block, hit a 3. The free throws are going to continue to be an issue. So again, we talked about on that podcast that he's best suited to a punt free throws or a punt threes kind of a build. I hope, again, you checked that one out and knew exactly what you're getting with Alperen Şengün. He'll be better than 2 of 6 from the free throw line, but it is his biggest weakness, I believe, moving forward. But that's a bloody awesome game, and I'm very excited for Şengün to really, really pop off this season. As you know, we've kind of been waiting for it for the last several years, but it could be the year. What else happened? Jalen Green was better this game. 22 points, shot efficiently, 50% from the field. Still didn't do anything in defensive stats. 4 assists is okay. This is about as good as I think Jalen Green can get this season. I don't think we're going to get much better than this. He'll have games where he goes off for 35 points and things like that, but I still am watching for him. The most important thing is the free throw attempts and percentages and the assists and steals. And so far, they have not really come yet. So keep watching there. Amen Thompson to look at the bench. Only 13 minutes. It's going to be hard to justify holding him if you are in a competitive situation. I believe he will get to a bigger minutes load later in the season. I usually like to give these guys a little bit of time, but there was a reason that I was taking Assar a lot higher than I was taking Amen, because the opportunity is just not really there. And when you're playing, 10-man rotation, and you're giving Jeff Green and Reggie Bullock and Jayshon Tate minutes, you don't even have Tari Eason in this lineup yet as well, so he's yet to come back. It's really hard for him to get the minutes that he's going to need. So at this stage, I don't think it's, for most situations, worth holding him in standard leagues. Dylan Brooks played 39 minutes. That's cool. 17 points. Sure, why not? Let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs and a better game for Victor Wembanyama. 31 minutes, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals and assists. Missed all his threes. He was poor-ish from the line, from the field, but great from the free throw line. And this is a very typical line I think we can expect from Victor Wembanyama this season. 20-ish points, 3 blocks, great rebounds, good from the free throw line, poor from the field. And that is, I think, if he can do that on a regular basis, second round value, potentially first round, depending on how high those blocks can go. It's enough. That's exactly what you want from Wemby. This is a good result. He'll have some big games. He'll have some poorer games like last game, but this is a good result for Victor Wembanyama. And in 31 minutes, I think that is sustainable for him to continue to do. The other player that I think this is sustainable for is Devin Vassell. 25 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. No defensive stats. He will get more steals than that. I wanted to see more assists from him early on. Hasn't come just yet, but I think it could. But we'll see. And I just think he's a really good player. 8 of 11 from the free throw line. He was aggressive. High usage so far. So that's nice. Jeremy Sochan did well and didn't hurt you from the field or from the free throw line. In fact, he helped you in both of those areas. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, no blocks though. But again, must roster player. He must be on a team by now. If he's still on your waiver wire for whatever reason, please go and change that. He is someone that needs to be on your team and you figure the rest out later. Zach Collins as well as another one who must be on a roster. Don't consider dropping Zach Collins. I've had too many questions about dropping him, about should I add him if he's on my waiver wire. Yes, he 100% should be added. He should be on every 12-team roster somewhere in your league. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists from your big man, 8 assists from your center, 4 steals from your center. That's great. 4 of 12, he won't be that bad, but 0 of 7 from 3 is going to be better than this, but 39 minutes, super encouraging. And the assists, he can do good things from the center position as an assist player. So again, another really strong player that needs to be on every single, on a team in every single league, in my opinion. Keldon Johnson, 20 points, but he did the rest Keldon Johnson, like 4 rebounds, 4 assists, no steals, 1 block. It's solid. It's good. That's a good game, and I think he is someone that could be rostered in 12-team leagues. The bench, let's talk about Trey Jones, 33 minutes. Great. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. He is doing enough to be held and to be someone that you can have as a back-end assist steals guy. And so far, it looks sustainable. I think that he is someone that we can afford to ride through some bumps throughout the season so far, because he is clearly the 6th guy in this team. And if they're going to monitor Wemby's minutes, for example, like in an overtime game, if Wemby's only going to play 31 minutes, Trey Jones is going to play more than him, then this is something that we can continue to look in. If he has a down game or two in the next week, I don't think he's someone that you immediately drop. So that, I think, is comforting to know. Let's keep going. How many more games? We've only got, what have we got? 4 more games to go through. Far out, these big slates. Monster Podcast coming up. Brooklyn and Dallas. All right, we've got a few things to talk about in this game. First of all, let's talk about Cam Thomas. Now, I tweet out today that I am moving Cam Thomas into the must-add category until further notice. Now, I got a few replies saying that too slow, he's already gone in a lot of leagues, and fair enough. Like, he has gone. I did say that he's someone to add in certain situations in my previous podcast when we talked about their last game. I didn't say he was a must-add player. I had him in the maybe-add category because, again, he is a certain type of player that only does a few things. He scores, he gets to the free throw line, and he hits threes. And he did that again today. He did it probably unsustainably efficiently, 12 of 19 from the field. But the fact that Cam Johnson was out injured and he moved into the starting lineup, the fact that he had the most shot attempts again in this team, and that he is someone that can score, and scoring is important in the NBA, he's a must-add player. He definitely, if he is available in your league and you go get him, I think you do that. He is someone that you go and add. It could fall away, though. Let's be clear. This could be something that in a month's time, we're dropping him. But right now, you grab him, and I think it is, I am more optimistic that it is going to stick than I have ever been before. I've always been someone who's been skeptical about Cam Thomas, but right now I'm more optimistic that this is real than I've ever been for Cam Thomas in his career, because he's doing it early on in the season, and it's not as if there's a bunch of injuries. I mean, Cam Johnson will come back, but the clear minutes between their top 6 players, him being involved in that, and again, 2 games in a row being the leading shot getter, is very, very encouraging. But don't be surprised if he comes out in the next game and shoots, 4 of 20 and brutalizes your field goal percentage. But for now, he's amazing. Keep it going. Ben Simmons, 32 minutes. We were worried a little bit about his minutes last game, but he came back out, put up a great line, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, great effective field goal percentage. This is the Ben Simmons we want. This is top 60 Ben Simmons. Again, this is not out of character for him. This is not something that is unrealistic to expect him to continue to do. 10 points, sure, no threes. Never expected that. He didn't hurt your free throw percentage in this game, and he was great from the field. This is an awesome Ben Simmons line, and I hope we can continue to see more of it. I was a little bit worried about Spencer Dinwiddie last game, but bounced back in a big way. 40 minutes today, 8 assists. I don't think those 8 assists are reasonable to expect moving forward, but the 40 minutes definitely is encouraging after he also had a lower minutes game last game. 23 points, 8 from 17 from the field, Hit six threes, was 50% from the three-point line. So again, maybe that falls away a little bit, but definitely encourages me that, again, if he was dropped, I don't necessarily think he's a must-add player, but you could, again, if he was dropped or if he's available on your wire, you could go and add him if you need some assists and threes and some points. But just be aware of the negatives in terms of his efficiency from both the field and the free throw line and an extreme lack of defensive stats. But he does have some uses there as well. Mikal Bridges, not very efficient in this game. 6 of 17 from the field. No steals, no blocks. 18 points is okay. Three from three from the free throw line and three threes is solid. But that's not a second-round player performance. Again, I'm just touching on it. One data point, but we'll see moving forward whether or not he lives up to the bust name that I gave him in the preseason. Dorian Finney-Smith also started for this team with, obviously, Claxton, who was also out. And the stream that we thought we were going to get in Dayron Sharp did not work out. He played 3 minutes. And they just went small in this game with a bit of Ben Simmons at center at times. So that is also interesting for us to just make a note of because we don't know how long Claxton is out for. Apparently there was a report about him in a walking boot or something like that. Sometimes that's always just a bit of extra cautionary sort of things. So definitely something for us to monitor, but clearly 3 minutes for him is not going to cut it. And I think if you streamed him in, you can drop him and move on and try something else. Don't think there's too much else to talk about for that team. I don't think we really need to worry about Finney-Smith or Royce O'Neal at this stage. Maybe in a 14 or 16 team league, they're decent enough streams whilst Claxton and Johnson are out. But I don't think they're high priorities in standard leagues. Let's talk about Dallas Mavericks, and we will start with Luka freaking Doncic. 49 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. No defensive stats, but, I mean, come on. 9 threes. He went 8 of 10 from the free throw line, which is good. 16 of 25 from the field, which is amazing. And just a really, really good performance. The rest of the starting lineup outside of Kyrie Irving was pretty down. Derek Lively only played the 17 minutes after the 31 the first game. Hit all 4 of his shots. Only 2 rebounds, 1 block, 9 points. Don't panic. Don't drop him if you added him or if you had him. He's still going to be fine. I think that he's going to obviously have some growing pains, but Maxi Kleber just was a little bit more effective in this game. I mean, he didn't do much, but he was a plus 10 versus Lively's plus 1 in this game. So they just went with Maxi Kleber a little bit more. It wasn't foul issues, which is a little bit concerning, but Jason Kidd did have that stupid quote where he said he's going to start at some point. Obviously, he started today, and that, to me, is the most encouraging thing. Remember, he's a rookie. There'll be growing pains, but he did his thing. Like, 100% from the field, 9 points, had a block. Don't worry about the lack of rebounds. Again, he'll be better than this. Derek Jones Jr., I don't know what he's doing playing in this lineup at all. I have no idea why he's even in the rotation. I think you could completely cut him from the rotation and you'd be just fine. I don't really know what he brings to this team personally. Josh Green should be starting and you don't need Derek Jones' minutes, but Jason Kidd just does dumb shit sometimes. I don't think we need to worry about Grant Williams in standard leagues. He just does not provide enough fantasy value, even if he gets 30 minutes a night, as he did here. 5.6 rebounds and nothing else. Don't worry about him. And there's a whole lot of don't worry about anything in this team, really, outside of Luka, Kyrie, Derek Lively. Maybe Tim Hardaway can be a streamer for points and threes. Maybe a back-end guy. Probably more a 14-team league player, in my opinion. Just because he doesn't do a whole lot else outside of score and hit threes. But again, that has use in certain situations. So in some builds, that might be useful, but probably not for every team. We're getting through it. I'm skipping a game. Utah versus the Clippers. Another close game. Utah just narrowly wins by 2 points. Start with the Clippers here. Zubac had a rough go of it today. 19 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, no other stats, or 2 blocks, sorry, after a really good game one. Don't think we need to panic, but the 19 minutes is a little bit discouraging. The interesting thing here, though, is that he played 19 minutes, but Plumlee only played 12. So they've obviously gone small, and I think that reflected in another play that we're going to talk about later, but this game was, you know, full of a lot of small ball, and we'll monitor that moving forward, but that is a very interesting sort of, I guess, thing to note about the way this game went and how things fell into place. Paul George, massive game, 36 points, 15 of 15 from the free throw line, awesome, three threes, not much else in terms of the counting stats, four rebounds, one assist, zero steals or blocks, but again, those free throws, the points, the threes, all very, very nice. I don't think we have to worry about Robert Covington, 20 minutes, it's just not enough for me. Russell Westbrook, Russell Westbrook, two of four from the field. I'm personally very encouraged by the fact that he is restraining himself from jacking up shots. So I'm happier with what I'm seeing from Westbrook so far. You know, nine rebounds, four assists, a steal and a block. Despite him only having 4 points and five turnovers, that is encouraging to me in a weird kind of a way that he is playing more within the team's offense than he has at other stops. So to me, Westbrook is someone that needs to be on some kind of team in your league. It doesn't have to be your team because he's got his deficiencies, but especially the field goal percentage drain, I don't know if that's going to be as big while he's on the Clippers. And we did see he shoot better from the field on the Clippers last year than he did on the Lakers. So I think that that's going to continue this year. Kawhi did his thing. Not too much to talk about there. The rest of this is kind of, there's not too much to discuss. Keep an eye on Bones Highland. If there was ever an injury to Russell Westbrook or something like that, he could be someone that we add in 12-team leagues because he's a good permanent producer. But whilst people are healthy, he's not really someone to worry about. Let's talk about the Utah Jazz. And the guy I was referring to before was Walker Kessler. Another buy low candidate. There's a lot of bigs at the moment that are buy low candidates. And this is, again, I mean, not this exactly, but I was always down on Walker Kessler this season because he is a big man that doesn't do much else except for rebound and block shots. And the NBA, whilst we use that, it's not a guarantee that these guys play 20 minutes, or 30 minutes, I should say. He played 21 in this game. Again, foul trouble wasn't, he had no fouls. They just went small. And that is going to be a risk for him on any given night. Now, next game, he could come out and block six shots. But if you were valuing him as a top 40, top 45 player, I think you're going to be disappointed by the ups and downs of him throughout the season. Now, he's not going to be this bad, and he will be better than this. So go and offer a buy low, and if you can get him for someone closer to the 100 range, then that's awesome, because you didn't have to give up drafting someone in the top 50 who is going to be extremely valuable and give up those points that you need to get early in drafts. But if you can get him for a buy low opportunity, I would definitely be doing so, because I still think he's going to be a really good shot blocker. And has he blocked a shot? Did he block a shot last game? He might have blocked one. Obviously, hasn't done a whole lot in that department just yet. It's two games. He will be better. But it is also, you know, it goes towards why I was concerned about drafting him as early as a lot of people were. But he's not going to be this bad moving forward. Larry Markkanen was awesome. 35 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. No defensive stats like he normally doesn't, but perfect from the line. And John Collins, another good game from him. He wasn't efficient from the field, but 13 points, 12 rebounds, a block, perfect from the free throw line, hit a 3. So far, I think he's going okay. Now, he is not going to be an assist or steals guy. And in the one, I've got him in, I think I've got him in two leagues. One of the leagues I've got him in is a punt, assist, and steal team. So that is perfect for me. I don't care about that. Now, he was, where was he? 4 of 11. So, you know, second or third in usage behind Larry Markkanen and you know, like a Jordan Clarkson on this team. Colin Sexton likes to get up shots as well. But I am encouraged so far, and the fact that they are willing to go small sometimes and play him as a power forward center type, I think is a positive sign for the, you know, especially the 12 rebounds here. He wasn't rebounding a whole bunch at Atlanta, but so far I have liked what I've seen from Collins. Talen Horton-Tucker was better in this game, 10 points, 8 assists, and 3 steals, a block. He was poor from the field again, 3 of 10, but this is encouraging if you held him, and I would encourage you to continue to hold him to get more data on this one. He played much more minutes compared to the others in Keontae George, who played 12, Chris Dunn, 19. So he is still ahead of a lot of those guys, and I think he will still get more leash to continue doing that. They won this game. So I think that if he was dropped, you could go and add him if you can deal with the poor percentages and if you need some assists and steals and some threes, he can probably provide that. We'll continue to see, but I think, again, this is where I practice patience, wait, try and get a few games, because I think that there is still some upside here with Talen Horton-Tucker. Even though I don't think he's the best player, obviously the opportunity is there for him to provide stats, and he did so in this game. I think if you have a Keontae George, again, I'd probably wait a little bit longer, but he is okay to drop again if there are other players you can grab who are much higher upside. And Colin Sexton, you do not need to worry about him. He scored 13 points with nothing else except for one rebound. That is what Colin Sexton does. Two more games, Orlando and Portland. And obviously we had the news about Anthony Simons being an injured player. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb injury. And this Portland Trailblazers is a bad team, man. They are going to be so bad. I'm sorry if you're a Portland Trailblazers fan, but it's going to be rough, man. It was better performance today than it was the other day, but still obviously a loss to the Orlando Magic. Paolo Banchero took more shots in this game. Still not super high usage. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And here's the inefficiency again. So 4 of 9 from the free throw line, 5 of 12 from the field. We thought maybe he had a good efficient night from the free throw line the other day. Not to be here. So it might be more of the same moving forward this season. But he has been relatively quiet in terms of his aggressiveness so far. I'd like to see that those shot attempts go up for where people were drafting him, because I think he had like 6 field goal attempts last game. 12 here is better, but still, you'd want there to be a little bit more if you're predicting a second-year breakout for him. Franz was good, if not inefficient. Hit 3 threes, got to the free throw line 9 times. I think he's going to take a big step forward this season, and I'm encouraged by 2 things, and I've said this about Franz: the 3-point volume and the free throw attempt rate. If he can get those 2 things up, I think that's going to take him to a new level in terms of scoring, his efficiency, and his fantasy value, I think, will take a big jump because of that. So I like what I've seen from Franz. Another example of a buy low candidate, I tweeted this one out as well, a center who was struggling. They just went with Mo Wagner for a chunk down the second half there. But Wendell Carter Jr. is still a really good player. He is going to be their starting center. He is underrated, in my opinion. He can space the floor. He can pass. He's a decent defender, although he doesn't get huge amounts of defensive stats. But 8 points, 9 rebounds, and an assist. Poor from the field, 2 of 7. He will be better than this. Buy low. Some people are asking me if they should be dropping him. If that gives you an indication on how low you can buy, send out your one of your worst 2 players, or send out your both of your worst 2 players and see if you can land a Wendell Carter Jr., because I think he will be better than this. He does have his deficiencies, but as a guy who can put up 15, 9, and 2.5 assists with maybe, you know, 0.5 steals and 0.8 blocks on 55% from the field, like, that's useful. That is definitely useful, and someone that should be on fantasy basketball teams, especially if you're punting the free throws. He can be helpful. He might even hit like a 3 per game as well. He's going to be shooting a bit more this season, I believe. Suggs was good here. 27 minutes, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. He can get defensive stats if given the opportunity. And I have been encouraged from what I've seen last game from his aggressiveness and shot attempts, this game from his, you know, efficiency and ability to play 27 minutes. Cole Anthony still beat him by 1 minute. But I think, I don't know, there's something about Suggs, and I've liked what I've seen so far. Just from, you know, a bit of an X factor, some development from his point of view, I think he can be better. Markelle Fultz had a down game. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 50% from the field. He just didn't get a lot of shots up. He only played 25 minutes. So between he, Suggs, and Anthony, Fultz played the fewest amount of minutes, which I don't think will be typical, but it will just be interesting to see those players play. Maybe another buy-low opportunity here as well. I've had people ask me questions that make it sound like they're very concerned about Fultz, but I think he'll be fine. The minutes here are a little bit concerning, the fact that he wasn't in any foul trouble. He was a plus 11 in the game, but who knows? Maybe just because, you know, the Portland Trailblazers, they didn't need to push him that much. I'm not sure. Maybe Cole Anthony just had it going. Interesting. But I think he'll bounce back and be fine. Let's talk the Portland Trailblazers. Dominaten was back. He actually did a lot better this game. 14 points, 15 rebounds, no defensive stats as we normally see. Still only 9 field goal attempts and no free throws, which just frustrates the hell out of me. Get to the free throw line, dude. 30 minutes. He won't... Look, if... On one hand, you know, 7 of 9 is great. On the other hand, 9 shot attempts, that's not enough for where we were drafting DeAndre Ayton. He needs to get those shot attempts up for us to consider him a success in where we were drafting him. I moved his shot attempts up because he went to the Portland Trailblazers and I thought he was going to get more. There was no Simons in this game and he still only managed 9 field goal attempts. So, I don't know. Maybe if this continues, I think there's a risk that he falls down and disappoints us a little bit here. So, decent enough game here with the 15 rebounds and great field goal percentage and you know what we expect from him. But, yeah, I think the usage is concerning a little bit to me. Shaedon Sharpe got the start in this game, played 41 minutes, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He was inefficient, as we probably could have expected. Hit 4 threes, though. The issue with Sharpe is that he doesn't necessarily round out his fantasy game with much else outside of scoring. So the 2 assists, the 2 steals are nice here, but he's probably capped if he's not able to get those assists and steal numbers up in fantasy this season because of those other deficiencies. He didn't get to the free throw line much, you know, 2 attempts. He hit both of them, but yeah, he needs to find something else to be a really big game changer. He should be on rosters. I think that's pretty clear, but I don't think that he's like a guy who's going to run away with awesome value even while Simons is out because of those deficiencies. So I don't know. Maybe this could be a sell high if people are thinking he's going to dominate, and because the news of Simons being out, you might be able to spin that a little bit. Because again, I think there's just a few other deficiencies in his game that are just never, well, not never, but this season, I have my doubts whether or not they're going to be patched up. Matisse Thybulle, he can be dropped. A steal and a block. Even with no Simons, he only plays 17 minutes in a close game. More minutes went to Kamara. Brogdon played 31. Matisse Thybulle, the spacing with him is a real issue on this team. He can't shoot. And when you're trying to get Scoot the ability to get into the lanes, it's not good. And I think when Simons comes back, I would suggest that if Thybulle hasn't moved to the bench already, that he will be the one that moves to the bench and not Shaedon Sharpe. I said that last podcast. Obviously, the Simons injury pushed Sharpe into the lineup today. But yeah, obviously the minutes reflect what they think of those guys as well. Scoot Henderson, it's rough, man. The first 2 games have been bad. I've got him in the industry pickup league. It's rough. He'll be better. It might take a while, though. 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, steal, 25% from the field. Hit 1 of 5 from 3, yeah. 5 turnovers, 5 personal fouls as well. So his minutes were down a little bit because of that. He'll get better. All rookie guards struggle. Most rookie guards struggle. He's struggling more than I probably thought that he would. I thought that he, you know, with his strength and his experience in the G League, would be a little bit better than this straight away. But this is not totally out of the blue for rookie guards to be bad. It's been bad. It's been very bad. And we'll see. But I'm willing to give him probably a decent 3 to 4 weeks, personally, before I consider dropping him or moving on. I just think that you've got to be expecting patience with these rookie guys, and I think it will come. I still think it will come, and he will get there. Robert Williams played 20 minutes off the bench, and this is what I was worried about. He is a backup. He only crossed over with Ayton by 2 minutes, so Ayton had 30, Robert Williams had 20. I think that's more of what we can expect moving forward. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats. This is what I was worried about by Robin Williams. And in a points league, I don't think I'd bother. In a category league, obviously, maybe not obviously, but he is a hold. But just keep in mind that there will be wild fluctuations on a night-to-night basis because of his reliance on low-volume stats such as blocks. Just the minutes, I think, are going to be tough for him. Malcolm Brogdon is someone that we probably can add whilst Anthony Simons is out. He's definitely an add in a 14-team league, and if you need a streamer or a player that can give you some decent points, threes, and assists, and some free throw percentage, wasn't great from the free throw line today, but normally he's better than that. He can be someone that we can add in light of the injury news to Anthony Simons. So definitely someone who I think, given the 31 minutes that he played here, he can be useful in 26, 27 minutes a night, and I think he has a good chance to get that whilst Simons is out, at least while he's healthy, which hopefully is longer than normal. Let's go to the last game of the night, which was the Golden State Warriors beating the Sacramento Kings, and Steph Curry, man, he is so fun to watch. He, to me, is the most fun player to watch in the NBA. 41 points, 7 of 10 from 3, so 7 threes, all 100% from the free throw line. Extremely efficient. You know, the assists have not been there. Obviously, Chris Paul's taking a fair chunk of those. We kind of expected that moving into this season. But 4 rebounds, 2 steals is solid. He's going to have to continue to score a lot for this team. So hopefully we knew that the assists were going to drop and you were ready for that. But the scoring, obviously, in this game was incredible. Chris Paul, great stuff. 10 points, 2 rebounds, 12 assists, 3 steals. Was going well with no turnovers until he had 3, like, in the last 5 minutes. There were some pretty bad ones there as well. But obviously that is really solid for him. Still no Draymond, so we'll have to wait and see. And shout out to Kevon Looney. This is a game, man. 8 points, but 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block, 4 of 6 from the field. That is a bloody awesome line there. And if you're in a 14-team league, he has to be on teams. He shouldn't be on your waiver wire in a deeper league. On a 12-team league, you could definitely consider it, especially while Draymond is out. For the rebounds, he is just solid. I think he's actually a really decent player, perfect for this team, underrated. The stats won't be this good every night, but he often is a forgotten player. And if you are in a competitive league and there's not much else on your waiver wire, you could do worse than, if you're looking for rebounds, than having Kevon Looney on your team. Kuminga, 26 minutes is encouraging, but again, this is kind of why I'm not the biggest fan of him from a fantasy point of view. 12 points, 5 rebounds, and nothing else. Not inefficient, but not efficient either. Just not really very exciting to me, and I don't think I see it. I've been notably a Kuminga hater, if you will. I'm willing to be proven wrong. He has moments. I just don't think he's ever really going to put it together to be the upside player that we all hope him to be. But you could hold on. I think I probably would if I had him, as long as Draymond is out. But so far, I haven't really been won over just yet. Klay did his thing. 18 points, 2 threes, efficient. Solid. Solid. Let's go Sacramento. Sabonis, huge rebounding game. 19 points, 18 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. 5 of 6 in the free throw line. All pretty good there. Harrison Barnes came back to earth. 10 points, 4 rebounds, assists, and a steal. So obviously, if you grabbed him, I hope you weren't expecting what he put up last time, and this is definitely more of the Harrison Barnes that we expect. Keegan Murray, the defensive stats are still there. 2 steals and a block. That's the thing that we're watching for him. And last game he did it. Today he did it. That's encouraging. 16 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, 3 threes. Not very efficient, but that's an encouraging output for Keegan Murray. And he's definitely someone that I think has the potential to be a top 100 player this season. De'Aaron Fox, huge scoring game, 14 of 28 from the field, 50% field goal percentage, 39 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. I would have liked some more assists, especially in my matchup with Josh Lloyd, which it looks like it's going to come down to assists, but hey, I'll take it. Hopefully, maybe I can get back within the scoring column. And he hit 5 threes as well. Really took over in that last quarter. Kevin Huerta, bye. Hopefully you don't have him, but if you do, drop that man. He is not worth having, and neither is really anyone else on this team. Malik Monk in deeper leagues had the 6 assists and 9 points, hit a 3. He's the closest thing to someone that you can look at from this team off the bench, but the rest, you're just not very interested in at all outside of those big 3 in Fox, Murray, and Sabonis. That will do us for the recaps there, guys. We kind of went through some must-add players, so I'm not going to go through them in a strict list here. But again, the must-add guy, I think that is clear from this today's slate of game is Cam Thomas. I think you should go ahead and grab him. Gordon Hayward is also another player that I think you should probably go and grab. He is available in a lot of leagues out there as well. And then a few other guys that we talked about that in certain situations you can add if it fits what you're looking for. Some buy lows came out of today's games as well, starting to get some players maybe panicking a little bit. So some of those bigs in Wendell Carter Jr., Jakob Poeltl, and who was the other one? I can't remember who the other one was. Go back and rewind. Markelle Fultz, we also talked about as well, potentially a bit of a buy low. So start to float some of those offers out to people. Oh, Walker Kessler was the other one. It just came back to me. Walker Kessler was the other buy low candidate. So start to float out some of those buy low, those 2-for-1 deals that you might be able to get. Those are always handy, especially if you are in a league that there are still really good value on the waiver wire and you are having the issue that a lot of people are asking me of having too many players that are good and that should be on rosters on your team and you have to make those tricky decisions about cutting someone bad. That's where you start to try and float out those 2-for-1 trades. Get a 2 decent players for 1 really good player and then grab a decent player off the waiver wire. That is always a good way to go for it there. Let me know down in the comments section below, guys, if you have any questions. I'll try to get to as many as I can. Tomorrow, we're going to be going out with the weekly look ahead for week 2 and probably one more fantasy box score breakdown. Then we'll start to just do them every Wednesday night after the big slate of Wednesday games. So again, hopefully you guys appreciate the extra little bit of work that I've been putting into making sure that you guys are across your fantasy basketball leagues. Drop a like on the video, guys. Subscribe on podcasts and YouTube and give us a 5-star rating. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.